Well, welcome, everyone. This is Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International. It is December the 12th, 2013, and so today we'll be meeting today, and then just let you know with announcements, we'll be meeting. The next one will be December 26th, even though it's, you know, vacation time. I'm still here wanting to work with you and serve you, and so we press onward. So we'll still be meeting at that same regular time, the 26th, here at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern. And then, yeah, next in December, in January, we'll meet, it's always, you know, the second and fourth Thursday of the month, so it would be January 9th and then January 23rd. So on those days, we could meet at, you know, 1 hour earlier. Michelle was requesting that, right, since she'll be back in Indonesia. Is that right?
Thank you, Dr. Joanne. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. So that would be great. Do it 1 hour earlier. So since you're in Bali, it's like 2 a.m. there, right? Pretty crazy.
Yeah. We can help out a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. 1 a.m. just seems so much better than 2 a.m. for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just it's both really late. That you're really very dedicated to join us then. It's great. So, yeah, and then I wanted to let you know that an announcement. I'm working on a level 2 certification. We've done, all of us here, you've done the level 1. And so in the first or second week of January, I'll be starting at level 2, and where you can, we'll dive in more to the business aspect of coaching and how to build your business, how to really generate a great income from this, and so there'll be a discounted fee for that, and I'll send you an email, let you know what that is. It's not mandatory, but if you want to go ahead and learn even more, we'll do that. A lot of people have been asking for a level 2, and also we'll go into the second part of the book and how to do coaching with that. So mm-hmm. I'll send you more information about it. Yeah, it'll be great. And a lot of people mm-hmm. have been requesting that. So yeah, I'll send you more info. And you don't have to have, I know a lot of you are progressing really well with program, and I know Dave Mahoney just got certified. Congratulations, Dave. I think he said he couldn't be on the call today, but just wanted to congratulate him. And I know, Alex, you're really moving along and doing all kinds of sending in homework assignments. So that's great, Alex. And you're doing a great job with that. I think your goal was to finish up by the end of this year, right?
Yeah, well, it should be done by next week, hopefully.
Yeah, great.
Good for you, Alex.
Yeah, so, but even if you have not finished the certification or all the assignments, you can still take level 2. So anyway, I'll send you an email with more information about that. So first I wanted to just check in. Today we're going to be talking about goals, a goals blueprint for 2014, and, you know, how to really make this next year the best one ever for you, and talk about I'll tell you some of the secrets that I've discovered about how to be really productive and how to be focused, how to really get things done, and then make it specific to the PECI program here to, you know, really enhance your coaching, a goal system mm-hmm. that I've worked out, how to get clear and get really gain focus for your PECI coaching goals for 2014, and ask you, you know, you can kind of be thinking about what your vision is for 2014. I'll ask you maybe what your thoughts are on that too, and how to kind of stay, help with how to stay on target with your plan, your sort of tracking system, and how to create this goal blueprint for you. So let's see, first I just wanted to check in with Suzanne, you were talking about, and any of you that have a success story or something that's where you've been using these coaching principles, it's always good to hear what's happening with you. And I know, Suzanne, you talked earlier in Toronto about your cancer patient that you're working with. And you had some really good news, and it sounded like, well, if you can fill, I think you sent me a great email, a couple emails, you know, kind of fill everyone else in on that progress.
Okay, sure. So he gave me permission. He wants me to share his story. His name is Daryl. He's a 62-year-old firefighter and very close to retirement, but now he's going to be retired for sure. So he's had, over the past 20 years, he's had 6 different types of cancers, and they're all carcinogen-related, which means from the assuming it's from the fumes. And they didn't think he would make it. The first bout he had 20 years ago, it was a Hodgkin lymphoma. And but he pulled through very well, and then he's just been getting one thing after another. And it's not like a metastasized cancer where it's related to the other. It's a totally different kind of cancer that keeps popping up in different parts of his body from the fumes and all the carcinogens. So basically, he went in for bladder cancer operation, and they had to compromise the kidney, so they removed his kidney. And after that, he came through that very well. But after that, he went through a CAT scan, and they realized that he had lung cancer and also a brain lesion, which was cancerous. That's when he fell into a real learned helplessness state. And the family physician called me and asked if I would see him. So that's where I came into the picture. And just as I was speaking to you a couple of weeks ago, just the day before, he was actually going into surgery the next day for his lung. And he was really, really depressed. And, you know, I can't remember the gentleman's name that was on the call that was talking about going into an anesthetic and being positive for the recovery, but
that was me.
What I ended up doing was
Alex.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Was it you, Alex?
Yes.
And you gave the name of a book as well, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. That was really helpful.
Oh, I'm glad.
I haven't gotten the book yet, but it really turned me on to motivate me to do that. So make a long story short, I got a hold of. Do you want me to share this, Dr. Joanne, about the script or?
Oh yeah, I sent you this a script that a preparing for surgery script,
mm-hmm.
and I sent it to Sophie. I want to send that to you too. Make sure everyone gets that. I think Alex and I sent it to as many as I could get out, but I need to just post it on the website as well. So Sophie, I'll send that to you today too, so you got that and make sure everyone gets that. Yeah, it's a script for preparing for surgery that I designed for. It was for eye surgery when I had my own eye surgery a few years ago, and then I was saying that you could customize it for any body part, any kind of surgery. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I did. I wasn't able to go in to see him. So the night before his surgery, around 10 a.m. when everybody left, I gave him a call, and I asked him if he wanted to do this visualization, and I customized it for him, and he said absolutely. And so basically, going into it before the surgery, he was told that he would come out having horrific pain because they were going to take a piece of his rib cage out and one lung and whatever, and then he'd be in ICU, which is the intensive care, for at least 2 weeks, and they really weren't giving him a good prognosis. So I'm thinking, oh, man, how do you do a visualization with that when they're already giving him that information, right?
Yeah.
So basically what we did was I did a progressive relaxation exercise with him first, and then I went through a visualization, which was his idea to begin with, because he initially told me about him visualizing this chair that they bought for him at the home when he was going to recover and go home. So we started from there. We looked at, you know, all the senses and him sitting in his chair and post-surgery, basically. I wasn't going to go into the actual surgery because I thought it would be better to do post and him recovering, having a great recovery, very little pain or the pain being managed, and sort of all those ideas. And so we did that, and he felt really relaxed and really it just lifted his spirits. And he's very good, too. He's really compliant with doing these exercises, so that's really helpful. So the next day he had a surgery, and I didn't hear anything, so I really was worried. I thought the medical team didn't get in contact with me, and I thought for sure something happened to him and it wasn't good. And 2-3 days later, they finally got in touch with me, and the doctors were just, they couldn't believe his recovery. He was, within 2 days, he was out of intensive care. He had very little pain. He was chirpy. He was eating. He just wanted to go home. So they couldn't believe it. They just didn't know what had happened. And he's at home now. He is very much motivated to continue on doing visualization. So he's recovered very well. He's not out of the woods yet. He has to go in for some radiation for this brain lesion. And so we're going to do the same thing. He's really excited to do that, to visualize again a proper recovery and to live for the next 10, 20 years.
Wow.
So he's written up in the American National Medical records for having the most many episodes of cancer recovery, right? So it's just amazing.
Wow, that's wonderful. That's
wow. So
yeah, and he wants to actually come and speak to the students when he's well. He's visualizing that in one of my classes in January.
Oh, my gosh, that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really fantastic. So that's the story. It's very, very, I was very, very excited for him. It was really motivating.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, great work.
Thank you.
Good for you.
Doing a great job with the script and, getting right in there.
Well, thank you for giving me the actual tools. I mean, I've got visualization tools that I used to use before, but this was much more customized, and it gave me the idea where he was at so I could just piggyback on that and go forth with that.
Yeah, great.
That's fantastic.
And, what's that? Oh, yeah.
So that's
I also
just a
have
fantastic
a...
story.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, isn't that great? Yeah, and it shows that these kinds of principles and the visualizations can be used for anything. Athletes or non-athletes or firefighters or people in any walk of life, and oftentimes, and then also for athletes, often have surgery as well, sports-related surgeries that they need to get recovered from. And firefighters are basically athletes as well, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, they're professional athletes. Are getting paid to use their bodies. That is really great. And if you can, when he's able, get for your own practice and stuff, if you're comfortable with it, and if he is, maybe ask for him for a little testimonial or something for you, a quote, or just a few words about how your work with him was helpful. Then,
yes.
That would be great for you to be able to share that with other clients. Just say, you can say it's for, being able to share this information to help other people too.
Well, he wants to set me up with the deputy chief, because he feels
okay.
It would be really good, a good exercise for, after they do a shift. But I can get into that more later. I don't want to take up the whole conversation here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. So I'm so excited that, it gives the idea that we can really use these performing edge techniques for, to save lives, right, basically, and change lives.
Exactly. And just to finish off, I just want to thank you, because when I initially got into the program, I was looking for something for first responders, do you remember?
Right.
And it ended up being that way, which was my first case, really utilizing most of the tools. So.
Yeah. So you're.
And I wasn't expecting that. Like it was really good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. You're able to. I'm willing to customize these kinds of techniques and program for anything that all of you need, if it's a specific area. So. And it's exciting that you've got these contacts with. Firefighters mm-hmm. and first responders who are in emergency situations, because they they really need to take care of themselves as well, and all these things happen as a result. Like you say, the cancer is a result of their work.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that's great. So congratulations on that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Let's see. Alex, you gave me a visualization as part of your an MP3 as part of your the work for the Performing Edge Coach program. And, I wanted to just first say that it was, for everyone to say it was really great, the visualization and give you some, well, give the feedback to everyone. Yeah, whenever you want to submit your, MP3 to me, everyone here, anyone that you've done for people, for your clients, just email it to me, and then I'll listen to it and give you feedback to, make it, tell you the good parts and help you make it better, too. Mm. So, Alex, are you there?
Yeah, that would be super. Much appreciated. So.
Yeah, and yours is with client Daniel, who is a pitcher, right?
That's right. Yes, he's a college pitcher. He's a senior now.
Yeah, that was great. And did you use the Audacity program or a different program?
No, this is pre-Audacity.
Yeah, Audacity is free, yeah.
I have, I don't know what I have. What is this called? Like a tape recorder, Olympus. That works quite well. I can hook it up to the computer,
uh-huh.
and then download the recording. And I bring this recording machine, little gadget, to pretty much all my seminars that I attend, so I can tape the conversations.
Oh yeah, that works
so
great.
That's what I did. So I had him talk in front of me, and I had him go over the visualization, and I wrote it down. Then
uh-huh.
I came home. And I wrote a script again. I send the script to him to proofread it to make sure it's right. Then send it back to me. And then I went over and I recorded it.
Oh, great. Fantastic. Yeah, those are some extra steps you can do but that you don't have to do necessarily with all your clients. Because as you get better at it, you can just improvise.
That's right. So I'm taking that this is my learning experience, and
so
I'd rather take a few extra steps with this type of clients that I can take this advantage. The more I get acquainted with doing these visualizations and recording them, the quicker it will become. So that's basically what my learning curve is at this moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. And I just wanted to say that it was, I thought it was excellent, the visualization, and that you, you want to say their name right at the beginning for everyone. When you're doing a visualization, it's good to say the client's name at the beginning so that you, of the recording, so you, bring them in, make it personalized for them, and then maybe say their name a couple times during the visualization and at the end as well, so you keep them involved and they realize this is a recording just for me, not for everyone. That's a really good technique. And then
Joanne, do you include also my name? No.
No, I meant the client's name.
No, I meant, but I would not write my. I would not say my name.
Not necessarily. Sometimes at the end, I'll just say this is Dr. Joanne, and I hope that you can use this MP3, often, and to help you or something.
Yeah.
I might say that at the end of the visualization, to let them remind them that it's me talking with them in case they, years from now they wonder what is this tape.
Okay, tape.
But the main thing is to say their name, the client's name.
Yeah.
And then spend a few minutes, preparing them for the visualization by doing some initial breathing and relaxation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It could be just a few seconds kind of thing before you start, but that helps them kind of get out of whatever mode they were in before and get focused on what you're doing. And then you said, you could say something like, Daniel, let your eyes gently close and move away from distractions and begin breathing slowly and deeply through your abdomen, relaxing more with each breath. Or you could say, as you breathe in, you can say, I'm breathing in strength, and as I'm breathing out, say, I'm breathing out the tension, or something like that. And then you can, sort of set up the scene with whatever information they gave you for which you did really well. Daniel was saying, it's a nicely manicured baseball field, and he said, I feel the warmth of the sun and the rush inside me and feel a bit nervous. I tell myself this is a good nervousness. This is great. So And then you said noticing how the body knows perfectly how to bring in the air and let out the air. So that was great. Yeah, those kind of things. You have a really good poetic way of phrasing things. So that's great. And or you could also say at the beginning of that, you know, and this is for all of you with your visualizations, you can, you know, give them some questions to say, you know, notice, bring in all five of your senses, and let me know, you know, what do you see there? You know, what's the temperature like? What's the, who is there? And then you can ask them, what are you hearing? What kind of voices do you hear around? Or do you hear the sounds of the pitcher, of the ball, you know, throwing the ball to the catcher and that kind of thing? And what do you feel? And just give some open-ended questions also so they can create their own images. And then, but then, of course, they've given you this information that you gathered from the pre-visualization assessment, so that's great. So then you put, and then you said all the details about now I'm putting on my cleats and putting on my jersey, going to the field, doing my routine stretches and feel all my muscles loose and flexible and doing my 4x90-yard sprints and feel my body responding to the warm-up and a rush in my shoulders. This is a positive rush. I feel expansive. So those are all really good. I wanted to just kind of give your show your visualization as a really good example for everyone here.
Mm-hmm.
I
almost
did a really
feel like
good
I'm on the baseball field.
What's that?
It almost feels like you're on the baseball field.
Yeah, you can really get the feeling you're there. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you say slowly catch, you throw to my catcher, each one gaining speed, each pop of sound of the ball. So that's the so that those kinds of things are really good. And then you know, remember to, if you can, do an anchor at the end. You know, ask them for to create a success anchor, and for everyone here. And so that's. Alex, I'll also give you some feedback on the second part of the visualization. I can just do that with an email kind of thing.
Okay.
And so that was great. But I just wanted to highlight your how well you did with. You spoke very slowly, and the pacing is good, and. So those kind of things are important, and it, you know, it felt like you were there in the situation as opposed to just reading a script. You know, if there's a way that you can kind of picture yourself there, when all of you, when you're doing a visualization, imagine that you're there on the baseball field or swimming or running or whatever it is. Imagine that you're actually out there doing it too. Then your voice, it'll come across in your voice as though you're really actually out there doing that event. So there's just, one piece of feedback was you said I'm free of worries, and it's I think maybe change, I would change that to something
like a positive word.
What's that?
To a positive word instead.
Yeah, positive word, like I'm free to play really well or
okay.
Something. Because the worries part, even though it's free of worries, the right brain takes in that word worries a lot, and we're already worried probably.
Yeah.
So if they listen, you figure they're going to be listening to this visualization over and over again, so you want to be able to not, you know, emphasize the word worries or those kinds of words over and over, since they will be listening to it many times.
That's a good point.
Yeah, so just think of what you do want to say. My mind is clear or something like that. That would be really good. So, yeah, that's great. So, yeah, congratulations on that visualization. And always do a test to all of you when you're, you know, of the audio to make sure that your voice is coming through really clear if possible, and try to avoid being in a noisy area where there might be background music if you're going to the client or if you're out on a field or something. If you can try to be, you know, if you can get to a quiet room or something, then that's even better to make a really good clear sound, which yours was, Alex. It was really great, clear. It almost sounded echoey, like you were in a, you know, studio, recording studio or something. So that was great.
Dr. Joanne?
Yes. Was that Michelle?
Yeah, if you're doing the recording with the headset on, that I think that reduces the echo, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's better to have it real. Yeah, have the microphone as close to your mouth as you can, so that you're. Because yeah, you're right. If you're doing it just talking into a laptop or something a distance away, it'll have kind of an echoey sound,
yeah.
Which is not as good, and your voice might not be as clear.
Okay.
So yeah, so Michelle, that's a good point to use a headset or a microphone of some sort to have it real close by, so that your your voice comes through really clearly. And do a test to make sure it sounds okay. Yeah,
that's my next learning curve step is to do this MP3.
Yeah,
this technology fear.
Yeah, but you can also just if you have an iPhone or any kind of smartphone, they all have audio recorders on them, so you can.
Yeah, maybe just use. I did download the Audacity, but I haven't figured out how to use it yet.
Yeah, it's just I gave you that as a resource that I use because it's free and it's a very powerful tool, not only for recording but for editing. You can do all kinds of things with it, but you don't have to use that. You can also use any kind of application on your iPhone or smartphone. Or any kind of, like you say, Olympus, like Alex uses Olympus recording device. You can get, in any electronic store, you can get a little digital recorder. And then just so you have a way of downloading it into your computer or just emailing it from there to me would be
but
great.
But Dr. Joanne, I downloaded Audacity, and I had difficulty with editing, and also if I were to... let's say, take a pause and then continue, how to do that. That's the two things I was not quite clear.
Okay. There should be in the top row, there's a red button for Audacity. There's a red record button.
Yes.
Right? And then if you want to pause on the left-hand side, there should be a pause button there. It's the one that looks kind of like an equal sign.
Uh-huh.
So if you pause there and then go back to click the red record again,
uh-huh.
You should be able to pause and then go back to continue recording.
And when I do that, it continues then the second conversation on a different track.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I noticed that. I've tried that too. I'm not sure. I have to go back and see how if that's possible to pause. Yeah, it is a kind of a strange way that it does that. You're right. So I just remembered that, too, when I tried to pause it. So it may be best to just go ahead and record it, the whole thing that you want to do. And if you do make a mistake, it's really easy to go back and you just you can edit it by just clicking on the area. Let's say you coughed or something, and you could just click right on that spot where you... want to edit, and you drag your cursor right across that little section that turns it gray, and then you just click delete to just take that part out.
What do you do? You just bring the arrow to where you want to edit it, and then what?
Yeah, you just bring your cursor over to where you want. After you're finished, go back and bring your cursor over and click it on the spot you want to edit, and then just drag your cursor across that little spot. Let's say if you coughed or something, drag it across that little area. Play it first to see the area that you want to delete, and then you just drag your cursor across that little spot, and it'll turn it gray, and then you just click the delete button.
All right.
So it's really simple to delete out things that you want.
If I can just say one thing, too, on YouTube, there's so much, Alex, for Audacity, and they'll walk you through it step by step and show it, on the screen so you can see what buttons they're pressing, and it tells, what the best levels are for all the settings, and so you can set the default settings and just never touch it again.
Okay. Oh, that's very nice. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I wanted to emphasize that too. Thanks, Michelle. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, so that's good. Yeah, Michelle, you've been working with it too. Audacity.
and I'm not savvy at all, and I just, whenever I have a problem, I just go onto YouTube, and there's so many responses.
Yeah.
It seems like people make their life of audacity out there. I don't know.
Yeah, it's amazing. So you can always just type in a question, how to edit on Audacity, or how to pause on Audacity, pause while recording. And, you probably, video can come up for that. So that's great. Mm-hmm. Hopefully I can make some recordings.
I'm sorry, Michelle, you said YouTube, you said, or Google, or both?
I go on YouTube just because it gives you a visual as well,
okay.
So it's not
okay.
Like Google's
right.
More of a written script.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, you could do either.
And then
sometimes
it's nice just to see the screen, the face, on YouTube, which buttons they're actually pressing.
Yeah, it's nice to see the visual there.
Oh, that's perfect.
The little recordings are so great. Yeah. Yeah, Sophie, have you tried that, the recordings? Sophie's there.
Yes. Yeah, I'm still there. I tried the recording. I'll send it to you, but the problem is that my computer is in the office and I hear the street very much. So I've got this big computer that I cannot move really from room.
Oh, yeah.
So I need to find a way to do it either at night, maybe after 12 or something, but I found it really disturbing to hear the cars in the background.
Oh yeah.
The idea to hear my own voice is also disturbing. It's still very unusual for me. I still need to work on that one. But I'll send you this week. I have one. So if you just forget the noise behind it, and you can listen to the actual visualization, that would be already good for me to have feedback.
Okay, great. Yeah. That'll be great and perfect. Yeah. Yeah, no problem. I can listen through the noise. I know what you mean. It's good to, if you're in a noisy area, to wait till evening or something. That's great. It's great to check in with you all. And so now I wanted to go over some techniques for your gaining focus and getting clear for your PECI coaching goals for 2014. Some of the things to think about are first, evaluating your biggest successes from 2013. If you can think about those and maybe email them to me, and we can talk about them on our next call too, on December 26th. It's good to reflect on what went really well this year, what you accomplished, and then also to, think about your major challenges from 2013 and the things that you struggled with the most, or maybe things you overcame, or things that you want to continue to work on in the next year. And then just think about, what's your vision for 2014? I think this is a really good time to be planning ahead and to not wait till the new year, but actually, start now to think about what do I want to accomplish in 2014. And that's one reason I wanted to start this new level 2 certification, because that's something one thing we could do is continue learning on even greater level, dive in more to this material to really help you be successful. And so I want to give you a formula for for consistently doing well with your coaching and consistently increasing your revenue in this area. So one of the things that I've been using that's really useful is first ask yourself this. So today's question, or today's program, is about focus, and I want to ask you what, people ask me Dr. Joanne, what are your best focusing tips that consistently cause you to increase your revenue? So when I get asked that question, I one of the things that I want to ask you is to, all of you, is to identify and try to understand your highest revenue-generating activities. So, you know, ask yourself, okay, what is the things that I can do that either now or in the future can, you know, help me generate revenue for my coaching? You know, was it like checking email or doing social Twitter tweets? Probably not. Or Facebook chatting, you know, those are nice things, but probably those aren't the highest examples of things that are not highest revenue generating. So what you want to do is ask yourself, what, this is a good assignment for you this week, is to write down, what are my, say, 5 to 10 highest revenue generating activities? So I call them RGAs. and so it, let's say, I'll give you some examples of RGAs, or, you know, revenue generating activities might be, first of all, if you're, you know, going through the course here, you know, one of the most important things you can do is you know, creating your foundation here and learning to gain the going through the PECI course, and which all of you are doing, which is great, and so you'll learn and gain the skills to do these high-level revenue-generating activities for your coaching. So, you know, maybe spend 1 hour a day, you know, listening to the our PECI course audios. That might be one example of a RGA, you know, modules 1 through 8 and the ongoing calls and reviewing the course materials and completing the assignments, and then, you know, implementing each of the steps in the course. And then another thing you could do, so that's the for the course as a foundation, and then some other examples would be of revenue-generating activities would be mapping out your four projects for this next year. So think of it, you know, break up the year into quarters. I think that's a really good way, rather than just saying this year I'm going to, you know, do A, B, C. You know, the mind thinks in terms of, you know, like 3 months at a time. Is if you can think of the year in 3 month increments, then focus on your one key project for the first quarter of the year and ask yourself what that would be, and then the second quarter, third, and fourth. then you can get your head wrapped around, you know, one particular thing that you want to do. Because it's too hard to, I think we tend to make lists of, you know, 10 things or 20 things or 100 things we want to accomplish, and it gets overwhelming, and we don't, you know, get to finish any of those. Whereas if you just think of one project per quarter, or one major project, and then, of course, break that down into parts, then you're much more likely to get that done. And also thinking in terms of threes, you know, just your sort of item plan, action plan for each day. I think that's a really good technique to think of, you know, what are, the mind can handle three things a lot better than it can handle 100 things. So, you know, each day asking yourself, what are my three goals or three tasks that I want to accomplish today? If you can do that right before you go to sleep at night and when you're waking up in the morning, and you're much more likely to, you know, accomplish those, you know, those three things. Once you finish those, then you can go on to, you know, the next three things. Some other examples of RGAs or revenue generating activities are working on your website, and we'll go into that more, you know, in the new year here in level two. And then your coaching, say the coaching page of your website or blog specifically, you know, working on that, you know, asking, like you could take the assignment in the PECI course, what do I do? Or, you know, there's that script of the what do I do script, and some of you just sent that in to me, which is great. And you could put that on your coaching page or adapt it to the coaching page of your website. And then you can also put an opt-in box on your website. We'll be talking about that more, how to do that, which is really simple. How to, by opt-in box, I mean, offering something free, like an e-book or an article or a video, and in exchange for people putting in their name and email. That way you can start building your list of prospects who turn into paying clients. So that's another example of something you can do. Writing, another thing is writing emails that make a compelling offer for your coaching services. So kind of writing out what it is you do and maybe offering a special deal for in January. That's a really great time when people are setting new goals and getting a new focus. So that's a really good time if you want to try to get new clients to, work on your website or emails or YouTube, maybe a YouTube video that talks about what you do. And then, creating specialized coaching packages, writing information that makes your services really compelling. Another thing you could do is pay paid client consultations or coaching. You either do them paid or do the initial one for a free strategy session that leads to paid consultations, and then converting them to your coaching package, during that consult or when you've talked with them, after they get excited about what you are doing. So those are some things that you could do to generate revenue. Some other examples are arranging a speaking engagement, talking with the meeting planners of, let's say, a sports group. It might be a marathon expo, or could be a a sports clinic, or other people that you know that want you to speak, a local chamber of commerce. If you want to work with business, could be a high school or university that has a talk with the athletic director there to see if you can arrange a give a talk, and then you can talk to, if you could talk to the kids and the parents, that's even better, and then talk with them about your coaching services. You can also speak to a group and then sell your product, your coaching and your products in the back of the room afterward. So that's another way to generate revenue. You could create a product like an ebook or a special report or a coaching audio, these MP3s that we're making now, like for individuals. You could also make MP3s for a general one for, say, a group, like a group of baseball players or that sort of thing, and you can sell that. I recently had an offer from a university called me, a coach from a cross-country coach at a university called and wanted me to make an MP3 for their whole cross-country team. So I just gave them a fee for my, one consult, so I could understand, with the coach, so I could understand what it is that they needed. And then I created this MP3. So it was a kind of a group MP3, not just for an individual, but a specific group of women cross-country runners. And so I made that for them based on what the coach had told me that she needs for the team. So that's another idea to approach universities for doing the coaching and an MP3 type thing. Also you could, and then show them, if you're going anywhere, show them the Your Performing Edge book, too, as a way to get coaching clients. Put your contact information in there and just show them that these are the types of topics that you could talk about or that you could do coaching on. So those are, just a sample of a sort of revenue-generating activities that you could be thinking about for 2014. And so those are some. Do any of you have, are those helpful to you? And just check in for a moment and see, are there any other activities like that that you were thinking of that you'd like
can
to do
I
for 2014?
Can I just ask a question?
Any of
can
you?
Can I just ask a question?
Yeah, who's this?
It's Suzanne, sorry.
Oh, yeah, Suzanne, yeah.
So the group, that sounds like a very good idea. Would you actually do the consult, the assessment, the very similar to what you do with the individual, looking at some of the challenges and also the goals when you meet with the coach?
Yeah, I talked with her just by phone, and so I just did the same kind of thing as with the individuals. I just said, ask her what the challenges were of that team.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying that it was, you know, which is often the case, that they do really well in practice, but then in competition they get so nervous. And they're actually, you know, she said there were problems with the girls competing too much against each other, when cross country is really a team sport where they all want to, mm-hmm. should be working as a team and then competing against another university, as opposed to being so... you know, having too much infighting competition within themselves. So we talked about that and visualizing them all working well as a team together. They needed that as an image to have.
Okay.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
and,
okay, that's great.
Yeah, I found out what kinds of things they wanted. Yeah, it was really interesting. I hadn't even thought of that idea myself. And she.
Yeah,
you know,
so when you actually visualize with them that... that they would be a team, would you be visualizing like helping to see the success because they were a team and that they would win? Like how would that come together?
Yeah, both. I guess the visualization was just for them as individuals contributing to the team, and because
okay.
they're all running together, you know, the gun goes off and everybody runs their own pace as a team, and then each you know, the more people that can come in, you know, their placing is really key. So if they can try to, you know, get all run fast and help each other to run even faster, then that, you know, contributes to the team score if more people can get in the top 10, say. And they were going to be coming up against their rivals, another university at this big conference meet coming up, and so
uh-huh.
they visualized them just you know, running there. It's kind of like an individual sport and a team sport together.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
That visualizing them running fast and being able to manage the hills and be able to handle when it's you know, get that second win when you're tired. But also you know, having the strength of the team helping, you know, realizing that I'm out here, you know, not just mm-hmm. for myself, but I'm out here running for my university, and
mm-hmm.
I can handle this. And so I have a purpose, you know. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
when we're, you know, just individuals have trouble seeing that purpose or getting enough motivation to really train hard. But they, you know, when you're with a team, you feel like,
mm-hmm.
so I include that type of thing in the visualization, that you've got the strength of the team, you know, supporting you, and you've got a purpose for running here to, you know, to help the whole
mm-hmm.
team to score well. That kind of thing, you know?
Okay, that's good. Thank you.
Yeah. So those are some ideas there. So that's step one, is getting, you know, thinking of your, you know, making a list, sort of what are my highest revenue-generating activities, and, you know, things that have made you income in the past or that can help you in the future, and they can also be things that are building blocks, like the, you know, like our course, taking the modules in the course and, you know, gaining skills is really important, too, for and gaining the tools to make to build your business. And then step two is scheduling blocks.
May I ask a question?
Oh, Alex, did we say
yes,
something?
May I ask a question?
Sure.
Yeah, just to share, for me personally, the sports clientele, let's put it this way, is newer. I mean, I've been a psychotherapist for quite some time and quite comfortable doing that. And I'm beginning to develop an incipient, let's say, expertise in working with athletes. Now, the challenge, I guess, is how to develop a clientele who doesn't know me. I mean, I can go and and see other people who are non-athletes, and I already have the reputation because they know what I do. Now, when I talk to athletic directors and people like that, then they say, well, they ask, what do you do? Then I don't know what to answer. As far as sports, I mean, I can explain what I do non-sports, but I feel like I feel like some lack of credibility for not having the sports consulting background well developed yet. So I don't know how to, if you can give me some advice or words, if any, how to approach people. I mean, how do I reach out to them? I thought about maybe cold emails, but it's very cold, or try to make phone calls, but I don't think that makes quite sense. So I don't know. I mean, that's why I'm kind of struggling, and that's going to be my 2014 plan to navigate this struggle. And I thought that maybe your input may be a plus.
Sure. Yeah. I think that it's a great question, Alex, and one that everyone probably has. And so I think that just to make sure everyone heard your question. Yeah, Alex is saying the challenge is how to develop clientele when they don't. An athletic clientele when they don't know me, and that lack of credibility and all. So I think there's lots of different ways. One is to work with a practice client like you've been doing, and then get experience with them that way, and if you can gain a testimonial from them so that you have something a short either written text or audio or video, a little testimonial you can show people that here's the kind of thing you've been working with people and getting good success. So that's one way. Another way is articles. I think it's really valuable if you can write even short a short article and then show that to. Oftentimes, universities and blogs and people of influence are always looking for content, and so it establishes you as the expert, helps to establish your position when you write an article and then show it to them, and it shows them. It's a way to show what you do. Also, I mean, you could actually write an article about a problem. Let's say maybe taking that client Daniel that you were working with and write about him without sharing the name, or you could change the name and share what the issues are, and then what they what you did to work on the problem, and that can help to establish your credibility, because you're giving solutions to a problem.
Okay.
Can I add something?
Sure.
I found, I don't have it with me, I'm looking for it. Somewhere on your website, there was you had some text written, more conceptual kind of information about, performing edge stuff and how it works. And I found that was going to be really useful for marketing. So to kind of transfer those over to with any discipline, it would work. So if you use that as a marketing thing, Alex, that's what I was going to do, to say this is exactly what I can do, and then apply it to the sports psychology part. So it's somewhere on your website. I think it's where you're offering the free module, there's a 10 tips or whatever.
Uh-huh.
That's the one. But you basically kind of say all the different things that you do in concept.
Is that on the Performing Edge
Coach? I think
it's
on your website.
Or
is
it Dr. Joanne or the Performing Edge Coach website?
I can't remember. I mean, I have it somewhere here. I downloaded it, and it was very, very useful. And I thought, this is going to be really good to be able to explain to, in other disciplines, this is what I do sort of thing, that because it really is all the same. It's Performing Edge, whether you're writing an exam or you're performing a particular sport and you're under pressure or whatever. It's exactly, Alex, I agree, as a psychotherapist, is what we do. So it's just a matter of having that marketing piece so that they can see where it fits into their discipline.
Okay. So you say that Dr. Joanne wrote something about like 10 tips, something like that?
It's more about what you do, I think.
Yeah, I've got it actually. I've got it in an email that I send out to clients. So why don't I just send that to everyone, kind of standard email, like when a client calls and asks, what do you do or how do you work?
Yeah. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah.
It was very good. It was very good. And I thought, this would be excellent just to, if I'm going to a figure skating director or whatever, I'll say, yes, I'm a psychotherapist, but here's where I can help out for the skating team.
Dr. Joanda, do you remember recall that email or that what she's referring to?
Yeah, I can find it if you don't. I don't know if it's on the web. Maybe it's on my website, but I also have it here in an email, and so I can just email that to you right away.
That would be super. I appreciate.
Yeah, that'd be great.
You.
And it's kind of goes over everything.
Can you email that to me too, please?
Oh yeah, everyone. Yeah, sure.
It's kind of what you do as a coach. What coaching is, I believe it is. It was.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, that's what it was. What coaching really is, and what are some of the functions and the outcomes to it.
Yeah.
Can I add to what Alex asked as well? I think it's really important to meet the people in your community that are involved in the sports that you might want to coach. And if it's, bike racing, go to the local bike shops and just introduce yourself, or go to local sporting events of the sports you're interested in and just try to meet the coaches and the players that are involved.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you're also
great,
a psychotherapist, so that's a selling feature right there. You're already trained.
Yeah, because a lot of people, say they're, like to put up a, say that they're a sports psychologist or a sports psychology expert, but they, they just, all they know is the athletic, say they're an athletic coach, but they don't have any background as a therapist or, in the psychological principles. And Alex, you're coming from the other area of expertise where you're a therapist already. And so knowing all of that, and what the human emotions and, if you've had a lot of training in that, and you're a PhD too, of course, right?
Yeah.
And that gives you a lot of credibility. It's really important to, I think, introduce yourself as PhD. Can you say, I'm Dr. Alex Diaz?
Yeah, I say that all the time. Now I do.
Yeah, I can remember
after 7 years, now I can. I better say it.
Yeah, because it just that right away that gives people immediate, gives you immediate credibility. Like I'll give an example, just exactly, Michelle, like what you were saying, and Sue, and Alex, and Sophie, are you still there too? I don't know if Sophie might have to, she's away over in Brussels, so she might have to go to bed, I think. But, I went into a running store the other day, and I needed to get something for my running. And so I just talked to the it was a newer store, and I just went in and talked with them. And I said, I bought something there. It was just a normal course of business kind of thing, that something I needed, some running shoes. And then I said, oh, by the way, I'm a sports psychology expert, and I do a lot of talks, and you might be interested in something like that at your store here. And the guy said, oh wow, really? Yeah, we'd be really interested in that topic. We haven't had a topic like that before. And he said, do you have a card or something? And so I handed him my card and in my book as well. And if you have your Performing Edge book, you could show them that. Or anything that you've written, if you have, a 10 tips article or something, show them that, a handout. And he said, actually, our events coordinator is just here. He just stepped outside for a second. Let me go get him and bring him back in. You can meet him. And so then he brought in this guy, Parker, and I introduced myself. And he said, wow, that would be great. You're local right here? And I said, yeah. And he said, yeah, you could come in and, give a talk, and we could have a special that night for the store. Of course, they want you to come in because you bring people into the store, and then they have a special deal at the store, so that helps the store to sell things. And you could also, he said, yeah, you could sell anything you want if you have audios or books or anything, you could sell them there and then talk about your coaching. So that just by walking into the store and buying something that I needed anyway, I ended up, you know, starting a whole conversation mm-hmm. with, you know, the person there, and they got me to the right person, the events coordinator, and then the owner of the store because they want to bring, you know, have more people come into their store and create events. And they have a place, you know, you don't have to rent a place because, boom, you know, running store or any kind of sports store, they have their own facility right there. So that's an example of how, and they're setting mm-hmm. up a date for me now to give a talk there. So that's, and sometimes you could do it for free. And then just sell your products or your coaching. But sometimes they'll pay you as well if they have a budget there. It's always good to ask, do you have a budget for speakers? Or they'll, you know, you always want to think, if they don't have a budget, think, what is something that's valuable to me that would be easy for them to offer? You know, and, well, a store would be, you know, like, the equipment from their store, right? We're all athletes, or most of us are athletes anyway, and so I need mm-hmm. running shoes. So, you know, a lot of times they said, you know, I had one store that said, oh, yeah, we'll give you, you give the talk, and we'll give you $1,000 worth of, you know, store credit to buy things
nice.
In the store. And I, wow, that'll, that, you know, that's like a couple of years of running shoes for me.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's something that could be, that you could have, it doesn't always have to be in the form of money. You can also get things that, I mean, you would have to spend money on anyway, or mm-hmm. running clothes or, you know, nice clothes or whatever they offer in the store. You can, oftentimes it's easy for them to provide that because they get, you know, these, a lot of things that, you know, great discounts, and it's something of value to you. So mm-hmm. Does that help? That's kind of an example.
Yeah, that's good. It's a good idea.
Yeah, and you've got a captive audience right there. When you go into a store and you buy something, they're really happy to have you as a customer, and so they're much more likely to, you know, even if you buy something simple, they're more likely to, you know, talk to you about your services and that kind of thing. So
was this, Joanne, was this a big name store or more like a mom and pop store?
The one I went to, it was called Roadrunner Sports, and they're a national running
okay.
store, a chain that
right.
is, they have online business, and also you could look them up, Roadrunner Sports, and see if they have one in your area. But there's, you know, big, in New York, you probably have, we have out here Big Five stores, and, you know, just, it could be either one, you know, it could be a national store or a mom-and-pop store.
Yeah.
Mom-and-pop stores are good, too, because they're, you know, if they're local, they're
That's
interested
right.
in local business, and you're interested in local, you know, coaching clients.
Yeah.
So you're both wanting, you know, kind of marketing to the same group, but not competing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, right. so that's a really good way to just think of it in your normal course of your day and doing things that you would normally do anyway. It's like it doesn't feel like you're having to go out and market yourself.
Yeah.
You're actually just doing something that you kind of would do anyway. So, and that's a good thing to think about. It's always good to have business cards or something. What I gave them was actually a postcard. You know, those are even better if you go to, you can go online to like VistaPrints.com, and they always have an offer for like 250 business cards for free kind of thing, or a very small amount, and you can actually go on, they have templates on there, and you can just design your own card or postcard, which is like, you know, a 3x5 postcard, and that way you can put an image on there yourself. You can put an image of you running or speaking or just any kind of image you want, but you could put your title of what you do, your business name on there, and that way it's a little more visual on the front, and then on, or you could put a free offer of some sort, you know, get free ebook or a free article here, and then put a website there. And then on the back, it's usually color on the front, and then on the back, you know, black and white, and you can then list all of the things that you do and your bio and a picture of you and website, your contact information, And so that's a great way to give them a little more information on a postcard type thing.
Okay.
So that way they get a little bit more than just a business card. And then also, you know, if you, I give them my book, but if you don't have a book, you can just you know, create a one-sheet handout of a few tips, you know, your favorite tips that you offer, you know, different things that shows your expertise. You know, think of 10 tips or 5 tips, your top, you know, performing edge tips or coaching tips that you can tell them about, and so it gives them actual information, the kinds of things that you could teach people in more depth.
Okay.
So, yeah, is that helpful?
Welcome,
yeah,
Joanne.
Yeah.
Yes. Hi, is that Michelle?
It's Michelle. Yeah, it's Michelle. Do you put your phone number on that postcard or just your website?
I put all three, website, email, and phone number.
And you use a Google number or?
Use what?
Are you using a Google number or just a regular cell phone?
Well, I have a home, a landline, because I need to have, I live up in the hills here, and it's I don't get as good a cell phone reception because it's a hilly area, and so I give them my landline. It just depends on what you're comfortable with, or a lot of people only have a cell phone, so if you have that and you don't mind giving your cell phone number, that's good too. Just depends on how much you want to provide. It's totally up to
right.
you. Or some people, if you want more privacy, just give them your website and then have your contact information on there. It just depends on what you're comfortable with, kind of thing.
I guess I'm just wondering, because cell phone numbers change all the time, and then I guess you had mentioned getting a Google number a few months ago in one of your talks that stays with you for life, and then you can just assign whatever cell phone you've got or landline to that Google number, right?
Yeah, that's right. You can get a free Google number, and you can just do a search on it. Number or how to get a Google. You just go to Google and get a phone number. Yeah, and it just forwards to your phone, whatever phone number you want, kind of thing. So that's free too. Yeah, and you could put that on there, and that way it's a little bit more private. If it changes, you can just, you know, that's what one advantage of just putting your website. If your website is more stable, then whenever something changes, you just change it on your website itself. Cards are cheap enough that you can, you know, get a bunch, and then if you change your cell phone, just let people know or give them a new card kind of thing. I wouldn't spend money on a brochure or something. I used to hand out brochures a long time ago, but those are kind of more expensive to produce. And you know, if you put a lot of into that, let's say your phone number changes, then, you know, people can't get in touch as easily. It's easier just to put a website or something. I'd do just a card, you know, either a business card or postcard, and then a handout if you want, just a regular handout that you can make copies of. That's a lot less expensive. And then just keep directing people to your website so that you can always, because you can always make changes there, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another thing you could give out.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. So let's see. I've got more steps here, and I'll do, you know, we can do a part one and a part two to this. We can do part two of the goal setting on December 26th. But let me just give you step three. So we've got step one is, you know, think about, make a list of your 5 to 10 highest revenue generating activities or things that you want to do in 2014. And then step two is, you know, schedule blocks of time for the generating activities. Or step two is, yeah. So most people think, you know, we think we're working hard, but oftentimes we're checking email or watching other people, you know, make their offers and income, and you might feel tired and you feel like you really worked hard, but you can go through an entire day and never do one revenue generating activity. or one, you know, focused activity. So you want to ask yourself, okay, how much time did I spend with my revenue generating activities, my RGAs, or how many of those RGAs, those hours, did I complete in a day or today? So you think of RGHs, revenue generating hours. It's kind of like RDA for your vitamins. You know, RGH is like for the health of your business. So my suggestion is, you know, just start with 1 hour a day. You know, make that your goal of that one focused hour, say in the morning. Morning is best when you're fresh and you're most focused and you're, when your biorhythms, you know, you've got the most energy for most people, I'd say. Unless you're a real nighttime person, you know, do it at nighttime. But, you know, just if you can do that the same, relatively same time each day, then you tend to, you know, get more done. Do it before your other activities when you're, and then you'll get more accomplished. You'll feel so much better. You know, feel like you're investing in yourself first each day. And so your goal is shoot for, you know, that 1 hour per day. And then you could build up after time to, say, 5 or 8, you know, revenue-generating hours where you're really blocking out the time on your calendar, just like you would a doctor's appointment, you know. Put those, you know, actually build it into your schedule, what you're going to do for that day. It could be, too, you know, just researching on the web, finding out what other people are doing. It could be also another way to reach out to people is just to gain, you know, write for people, contribute to people's blogs, or go to, you know, search on sports and performance coaching and or other sports websites and offer an article for them, and always, you know, include your bio box, so that you have a link to your website. And so that way you can gain clients, you know, worldwide, not just in your area. And then, here's step three. Oh, let's do step three here, and then we can do the next one, the other steps next time. The step three is, you know, you're sort of performing edge revenue building your morning and nighttime routine. I think starting with the nighttime, you know, what you do throughout the day is really important to kind of get a good rhythm going. And so at nighttime, I think, you know, it's sort of your foundation. When we sleep at night, it's like your processing time when you're doing all your healing and you're setting yourself up for the next day. So just before bedtime, by the way, I think the best way to get good sleep is to not be looking at any screens like 30 minutes before bedtime. So by screens, I mean, you know, a computer screen or phone screen, you know, to not be looking at email. So you really want to clear your mind for those 30 minutes before you go to bed. You know, you could, you know, just do something relaxing. And you want to practice your 3 P's, like we talk about just for athletes, you know, your positive images, and power words and present focus, but just like we tell our athletes to do those, you know, use those for yourself to have, let's say, here's one way that you can do that. So write out your 3 goals. Ask yourself, what are my 3 things for the next day? Write out 3 goals you want to accomplish that next day. And then use your 3 P's. Do the positive images. So visualize those 3 goals for your next day. See yourself doing it right. See yourself going through the process of those 3 things, actually, that you might end up breaking them down into smaller pieces and what it is you need to do to accomplish those 3 goals. Not just the end point of what you want to see, what will it feel like at the end, but also see yourself going through it and just embracing that process, really diving into those 3 things. And then the power words, say your 3 goals out loud. Let's say for instance, I'm finishing, or I'm reading and finishing chapter 1 of my, Your Performing Edge book today, if you're going through the course, or I'm finishing chapter 1 of my own ebook today, if you're writing your own ebook, where I'm going to a sports store to talk you know, maybe buy something and talk to the people there about giving a talk. So that would be an example of power words. And then number three, present focus. You have that. You want to have that present focus and relaxation as you're drifting off to sleep that night. You know, you just want to be able to feel good about the day and feel good about what you're going to be doing the next day, so that you can really dive in as soon as the alarm goes off in the morning. And then, so an easy way to remember the three P's, positive images, power words, present focus, is to say to yourself, see it, say it, do it. So, again, it's see it, say it, do it. See the picture, and then say the words, and then do the action. So that visualization could be... And also, you could visualize then that when you're doing your positive images, you could visualize an audio. You could play a relaxing visualization, an audio, an MP3. You could make your own MP3 for yourself, just like you do for your clients, that kind of thing. And then as you're sleeping at night, your subconscious mind will be processing those images as you sleep. So you'll be working on your goals really for the next 8 hours while you sleep. So you can think of it as 8 more free hours of productivity, really. And oftentimes solutions will come to you as you're sleeping at night. And then in the morning, as you're waking up, as you're rising, so that's the nighttime routine. And then in the morning, practice your three P's again. So first thing in the morning, you want to view your three goals that you want to accomplish for that day. Again, do the three P's, the positive images, power words, present focus in the morning, and see it, say it, do it, first thing in the morning. I often do exercises in the morning, like some sort of floor exercises first to kind of get things moving. So you might do something like that or go for a walk, and as you're moving your body, then you're kind of thinking about what you're going to be doing that day and focus on your... And then each hour as you're going through your day, say, I'm focusing only on blank, whatever it is, that particular project, that revenue-generating activity, your one specific project. So say to yourself, I'm focusing only on whatever it is that you're doing at that moment. I'm focusing only on, this... you're writing up this article, or whatever it might be. So that's step 1, 2, and 3. I have 10 steps, actually, so we'll go over the other ones next time. So step 1 is identify your highest revenue-generating activities. And then step 2 is schedule blocks of time for your revenue-generating activities. And step number 3 is your not morning and nighttime routine of being able to visualize and practice your three P's regarding those activities to really make it happen, see it happening in your mind, body, and spirit, so have it all happen together. So, I hope that, and the next time we'll talk about step 4, which is how to create and realize your ideal day, and step 5, your highest focus hour, how to protect your energy and keep focused, and step 6 is smart breaks, how to really take an intelligent break so that you can get back and be really productive, and step 7 is tools I wanted to give you for productivity, and then step 8 is resetting your posture, because I think posture is really key to being able to, it changes your whole attitude about things. And step 9 is reflecting and evaluating so that can learn from what happened that day, and then step and learn from what's happened in the whole quarter, those 3 months of the year. And then step 10 is celebrating and rewarding yourself so that you motivate yourself for the next focus period. And which can add that celebrating and rewarding can happen on an ongoing basis every few hours or every day, and frequently. You want to make sure that it's not all work, but it's time for play too. So I hope that I hope that's helpful for everyone. If you want to just, if maybe just say, go around and say what was the most, the biggest takeaway for you today, or what's most helpful for you. Anyone can jump in.
There's so much.
Can I ask you a quick question?
I'm just going to say one thing, and I have to run.
Oh, so okay.
I found it all very helpful. I just have to really now digest it. But thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay, great.
And I'm
going
to have to run to get to the office. So, no, it's very, very, very helpful. I've got a lot to digest. So hope to everybody has a good Christmas, and hear from you on the 26th.
Yeah,
great.
Okay.
Same,
have a great Christmas.
Same to you.
To you, too. Yeah,
okay,
thanks.
Bye now.
Bye. Merry Christmas.
Okay.
Bye.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Yeah. Oh, Michelle, did you have a question?
Yeah, just really quickly, back to the website, because my mind is on websites right now.
Okay.
If we were to follow, you know, all of your suggestions about building a website, what would kind of be a realistic number of people that, you know, might inquire because of the website about sports psychology coaching?
That's a great question. I think that...
I'm just curious what to expect, you know, like, because living in Indonesia, in my life in Canada is very much sports community related, but it's tougher in Indonesia. And I'm wondering how many clients you could hope to get through your website internationally.
Yeah, well, you're going to be in Indonesia and then coming back to Vancouver?
I'll be back in Vancouver in September, but, I would love it if I could get this up and running and practice. And I feel like I'm going to get my practice from people that might land on my website, you know, until I get back into Canada.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, that's the great thing about websites is they're international and they go everywhere with you, and it's not confined to one place. And so my experience is basically, you know, 95% of my clients over the years all come from my website, and I could say for the number one thing is that, your website is critical, and that's where, you know, people search. I ask people, how did you find me? And they said, I did a search on Google, you know, for, say, performance coach or mental training or sports psychology for Bay Area, my area. So that's one thing you can do for now when you're Indonesian, and then you can change that when you're in Vancouver, is you can put... sports psychology Indonesia or sports psychology Bali, you know, your area, mm-hmm. and put that as on your, on all the pages of your site and on the title of your articles and in the description of your articles and tag words, you know, the keywords that you, mention that, you know, where you are, and that will... And you can even put, best sports performance coach Indonesia or something. People will search on that and then find you. So I would say, being in, I don't know Indonesia in particular, what they're looking for, so I can't give a specific number, I guess, right now, but I just know that to get clients, I mean, the website is the number one way that people find clients, and and they are constantly searching on Google for that. So that's the best way to find to use your use the website. I would say the key thing with a website too is to be consistent. Try to write articles, ideally once a week or a couple times a week. Consistent, fresh content is what Google likes, and use your keywords, performance coach, mental training, sports psychology. Use those things in your... do you have a WordPress website?
Oh, I'm so at the beginning of all of this. I'm still trying to find somebody over there to help me develop it. And I know that you have said WordPress is the best to go with, so that's the one I'm thinking of, yeah.
Yeah, and it's
but
free.
But it's more like a, yeah, it's free,
free,
yeah.
Yeah, you could just go to WordPress.org to find out more. Not WordPress.com, but WordPress.org. is where all the information is. And if you can, what you can do is just find someone on Fiverr. That's a really great resource too. That you know, Fiverr.com. It's F-I-V-E-R-R. So there's two R's at the end. Fiverr.com is a place that you can go and just put. You just get an account there, which is really. It was just quick and free, and then you can search on anything there. Any topics, you know, WordPress website, and someone can get that going really quickly for you. You could do that. And if you're interested in, if you wanted me to do, you know, to work with you on that, I have a, you know, I could do that with a private service kind of thing. You know, to do a private consult. You know, that might be one way to do it. Is just to do like a one private consult with you. If you're interested in that, you could just email me, kind of thing, and I could help you. You know, get your website set up, and with the right way, the right strategy, and all that, right way to think about it. So But I would just say, you know, it's just I don't know. I probably get two or three, you know, three inquiries a week, kind of thing.
That's really encouraging.
Yeah, for clients, yeah, it's great. And people say, I always ask them, you know, how did you find me, and what words did you type in to find me, and that way you'll do your research to find out what people are typing in to find you, so you know what words to include on your website, kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's a great question. Yeah.
Well,
okay.
So thank you, Dr. Chuan. I appreciate your input and ideas. So it's very, very helpful.
Oh, good. Yeah, thanks,
appreciate
Alex.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's great to have all of you here, and we'll talk again. All of you have a nice, great Christmas and holiday.
You too.
And, yeah, that's great. And so I'll send you this information about the that coaching.
Yeah,
what is coaching?
Yeah, oh, that will be super. Yeah.
Yeah. What do I do?
Thank you very much.
And then I'll send you that. Make sure everyone gets that script too for the visualization. And I think most of you got that. And then we'll meet again on December 26th.
Great. All right.
Yeah. Same time. Same station.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Sounds
thanks,
good.
Dr. Joanne. Bye.
Okay.
Alex.
Thanks, everyone. Yep. Have a great.
Take care.
Holiday. Take care. Bye.
You too. Bye.
Bye.